Grace and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give him all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Can you just bless the Lord Jesus with me this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to Pastor Brandon, the angel of this house. We certainly honor him today. To Lady Owen, to all of our leaders, our leadership, to my wife, and we certainly bless God for all of you. I'm not going to belabor the morning. I'm going to try to get right into it. Service has been wonderful. The praise team did a wonderful job of leading us into worship. And Pastor Brandon prayed. And so let me try to say something that's been of value that would kind of add to the service, hopefully. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And if you would like to join me on your devices or your Bible or whatever you have, you can go there with me. It's on the screen as well. Okay. What's that, Tarita? Yeah, I know. I was trying to make a decision. Do I read it from the pad or do I read it from the screen? I said, if I read it from the screen, I got to put my glasses back on. I'm feeling real OG-ish this morning. Oh, Lord, help your man today. I think I'm going to just read it from the pad because it's easier. That's what I'm going to do. Hebrews 12:1-3. I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostilities he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. That's the reading of the word of the Lord. We talk about this, you know, this chapter 12. In our Bibles, it's unfortunate that 10, 11, and 12 is really just, it just goes along with one another. We put in divisions of chapters and verses to be able to handle things and get to things quickly. But the writers was just writing as the Holy Spirit led them. And so in Hebrews, there in this Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, it's a lot of debate who it is. It's insignificant to what I really have to say at the moment. But some believe it's Paul, some think it's Barnabas, there's various writers, but we ultimately know that it was the Holy Spirit who inspired whoever the writer is. Yeah. Amen. I know when we talk about this chapter, a lot of times we always talk about the race. We talk about the race and we zero in on the sin and the weight that trips us up, messes us up. But there's a little something in here that the Lord been kind of working with me with. And it's right there in chapter 2, verse 2. It says, because of the joy awaiting him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Talking about Jesus, right? And it says, because of the joy. I want to talk a little bit today about the joy ahead. The joy ahead. The theme of Hebrew is better things. That's what the overall theme of Hebrews is. The writer of Hebrews is writing to a Jewish community of believers. And this Jewish believers, this group of Jewish believers have been really under attack. Because they have now embraced Jesus Christ. They've embraced the faith. And now they are living in freedom. They're no longer bound by the law. They're no longer bound by rituals. They're no longer bound by the sacrificial systems. They've been freed. They've been released to live a new way of life, as the Hebrew writer says. New way of life. But there's pressure because now when you walk away from what you have grown up in, your traditions and your culture and your nation, some felt, because the Jewish community, the nation of Israel, when you say that you're no longer going to follow the traditions, you're now walking not just away from your people and your culture, but you're saying you're even walking away from your nation in some people's thoughts. Because the nation and the culture and the Judaism was all one in the same. The religion of the nation it was central to who the nation was. And so you have this group of believers who are going and feeling the pressure of life. They're wondering, they've made a commitment of their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're confident about what God is able to do, but they're under the pressures of life. And they're struggling with, should I go forward in this or should I turn around? Should I go forward or should I turn around? That's a question that many of us in this room have right now. A lot of us have made a commitment that some of us have recommitted. Some of us made commitments for the very first time. Some of us has been committed for a while, but life has been beating up on us and been doing things to us. And we're wondering, do I keep going or do I turn around?
Yeah.
That's a
word.
Do I get weary in well-doing? Even though the Bible says there's a reward for them that endure. It says if I don't get weary in well-doing, I shall reap if I faint not. And there's something crucial, something key to the writer's thoughts talking. He says, in 10, he says, don't lose your confidence. Chapter 10, he says, don't lose your confidence. Man, you've been through so much. You've gone through so much. You've given up and you've seen the hand of the Lord. Don't lose your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Because it's great recompense for reward. That's a wonderful word, and recompense. It just means you're going to get paid. That's just what it means. It just means you're going to get paid if you don't lose or give up or throw in the towel. Keep pressing. So he says he encouraged them to press forward. He encouraged them to press forward. Then he comes, and then he says, now faith. That's what he says. He encourages them to keep up. Don't go back. It ain't nothing back there. You experience life under the rigid religious system. You experience that. But you've now embraced Jesus Christ. You are now free. Because he tells us that the sacrifice that Jesus made is now once and for all has done for us what no other sacrifice could do. Jesus is an end to the sacrificial system. His blood was so much greater than bulls and goats and sheep. And the offerings that had to be offered, the meal offering, the grain offering, the drink offerings. All of that. Can you imagine all the stuff you used to just had to bring with you for an offering? You had to bring a caravan for a sin offering to remind you of how bad your sin is. I had to bring a couple goats, a few pigeons, some grain offerings, some wheat offerings, some oil offerings. And I'm bringing all of this to Jerusalem to worship. I had to bring a caravan with me. That's not that. In order for just to get my sins to be able to them to be covered. They weren't taken away. They were just covered. The religious system was so burdensome. Oh, it was so burdensome. And here Jesus, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension is now taking care of all of that. His blood has washed away all of my sins. It has not only covered my sin, it didn't just cover it, it took it away. And now I stand free. There is nothing that Satan can hold against me. There is nothing that Satan can hold up against me in God's court, because I'm covered by the blood and my sin has been forgiven. And so now I'm free. I'm free to live in a new and living way. That's what the scripture is trying to tell him. And he's encouraging these people. And he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. What he is trying to encourage them to say, that what to do, is to know that your faith, what you're believing God for, is a reality that will come. What you're believing God for is a reality of what will come. Because he said, what we got to understand is that the world was established by the word of God. That's what it was. He said that we live in a world that was established by the word of God. And so God's word is a substance. We can't see it sometimes. We can't feel it sometimes. But God's word is a substance. It's harder than concrete. It's more powerful than iron or metal. You can stand on God's word and never worry about falling. That's what he's trying to encourage him. He said, I don't want you to go back. I don't want you to give in. I don't want you to become weary. I want you to stand in what you know, because now faith is the substance. Things hoped for. The evidence. Things not seen. See, when your faith becomes manifested, it's now the evidence that God is real. When you begin to stand on the word, when you begin to stand on the word, which is the foundation of our faith, and that word that you've been praying for, that word you've been hoping for, that word you've been looking towards, that word that you've been sacrificing for, you nurturing it, you're watching over it, you're doing everything you can do to stay in the faith. When it comes to fruition, it demonstrates the reality of a sovereign God. Not only is he sovereign, but he's a living God. He's a mighty God. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's loyal to his word. He's so loyal to his word that he puts his word even above his name. His name is great. His name is mighty. But his word is even above his name. His reputation. He don't have a name if he don't keep his word. He's trying to encourage the people. Don't you give up. Don't you go back. Don't get weary. Stay in the faith. Stay in the faith. Because it's the faith that's going to demonstrate the reality of the living God. And because you're in the faith, you're pleasing God because you believe he is. I wish I could talk about that if I was real good at preaching. If I was really good at preaching, I would talk a little bit about he is. He's existing. He's the I am. He is the present one. He is, he is. He is. He is the reality. He is the living reality. He's the living truth. He is. He is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is. My God. My God. He exists. He is real. I don't care what the folk may say. It is the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. You gotta be stupid. You are idiot. You're far from intelligent to be able to look around all of this and believe there is no God. Ah, my God. There's this thing. So he's encouraging these people. He's encouraging them. And then he starts breaking out the heroes. He started breaking out the heroes. He started talking about the heroes who exercised this faith. He started way back in the book, right? Started way back in the book. He started calling up the heroes. He started calling up people like Noah and people like Abraham. People like Sarah, he started calling up the faithful few and he started talking about what they did to get to the place that they got, that they were hoping, that they were believing, that they were trusting. Yeah, it's crazy for a man who never seen really rain to build a boat because he heard a word from the Lord. He told him to build an ark and then go get some animals of all kinds and put them on the ark because it's going to rain. But he proved himself righteous. He proved himself that God is. Because there was a day that he went into the ark, shut the door, and it began to rain. And all of those people who was calling Noah crazy began to read and believe a reality that the word that man spoke was absolutely true. I want to tell somebody here today, I hear the presence of the Lord right now, and the Lord is saying that there's people who don't believe you right now. They don't understand you right now. They're saying you're crazy for doing what you're doing, but there's going to come a day that the Lord is going to manifest
manifest his word. And they're going to come to know that what you said, the God you serve, is true. He is. Yes, he is. He's a present reality, a very present help in a time of trouble. Yeah. Don't you give up. Don't you go back. Don't you go back. You come too far. The reality of who you are, the reality of what you believe, is going to come to pass. That's what the Hebrew writer is trying to tell him. He said that there's a great cloud of witnesses. Noah, Moses, Joshua. There's a great cloud of witnesses. He said, don't give up. See, this crowd, it's not like they're in the, you know, they're not really just what the witness, the crowd here, this cloud of witnesses are people who has gone before them, dealt with life, and held on to the faith. They were real folk. There's some people who ain't even named in the book. He says there were some people that wasn't even named, but they gave their lives. They were thrown in lions' dens. They were boiled with tar. They were set on fire. They believed that much. It's a cloud of folk. It's a cloud of witnesses. They've gone before. Their life was a testimony for something to come. Look, we're talking about Old Testament saints, right? They don't even have what we have. He's encouraging them based on the Old Testament saints. They don't have what we have. They can't receive. Look, Jesus says, John the Baptist is the greatest man who ever lived up till now. But he's the least in the kingdom of God. You know why? He's the least, because John the Baptist didn't live to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As great as a prophet as he was, he didn't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he's the least in the kingdom of God. He's in the kingdom, but he ain't got what we got. I'm sorry, Dom. I know I'm messing you up right now. I'm sorry for my English and my poor grammar. I'm sorry. I'm messing Dom up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. Hallelujah. The writer, he gives them this cloud of witnesses, right? And so then he says, therefore. So whenever the scripture says, therefore, we got to realize and come to find out what is there for. Therefore. Right? And he says, since we're surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses, he says, let us run the race. Right? And let us not get weighed down with sin and all the stuff that trips us up. That's what it tells us. He says, now we have to focus, because now all of those heroes of the faith was great. They were great people. They're part of the kingdom of God. They walked in faith even though they didn't see the promise. The promise was that the Messiah would one day come, that Jesus was one day coming. But they looked for something that they never absolutely seen come or participated in, but they look and they hope for something that was coming. I was hoping. He said they were great, but let me give you the ultimate one. Keep your focus on Jesus. That's what we need to look at. We got some great heroes, There's some modern day heroes. There's some modern day heroes. I look at some of you who are in this room, and I see faith growing in you, and I'm encouraged by your walk of faith. I'm encouraged. I see people turning around, and I see people getting stronger. I see people trying to live this life in a genuine way. Your faith strengthens my faith, and I hope I do something for you. I hope I do a little something for you, but you are blessing me. I don't want to call people out or anything like that, but your faith is strengthening my faith. I get a chance to sit here and I look and I see what you're doing. I see how you respond to the word. I see that people who weren't worshipers are now kind of experimenting a little bit. You know, I see people who a little hands offish. You know, they kind of push themselves to give people hugs, and I see people. I see you. I see you. I see sometimes you, and you're growing and you're moving and you're seeing glimpses of glory as you move from day to day. You're seeing how God is taking you from one degree of grace to the next. You found yourself in a couple difficult spots and you've seen that God was able to get you through. And you're saying, man, oh man, oh man, that Pastor Brandon, he be prophesying all the time. You know, I don't know if that's really real, but he prophesied over your life, and there's something, the thing he prophesied, well, you know, somebody told me that before. Well, I don't necessarily know. Pastor Brandon got a phone call this week, I hope you don't mind sharing this, about 5 years ago, this man prophesied over somebody's life. And he decides, for some reason, the Lord held it up for 5 years to give him a call and say, you know what, Pastor Brand, everything you told me 5 years ago is coming to pass. It was happening way back, but I just got around to calling you. And I was sharing with Pastor. I was sharing with him. I said, you know, God held that up for a reason, right? Pastor was going through a difficult week this week with all of the stuff that was going on. And I think, you know, sometimes even the man of God wonders sometimes, did I get it right? I don't want to lead the people wrong. I don't want to tell them that the Lord told me that that wall was coming down. And then all of a sudden this didn't happen. And it looked like I'm not here. I know. I watch him. And I don't always say anything. He already told my MO, but I don't always say anything. And I just watch and I'm praying. But I was asking the Lord, you know, the Lord hit me while I was studying the other day. I said, you know, he said, I held that up. I just needed that to be an encouragement to the man of God. You got it right, son. You got it right. You got it right. You get it right. You don't worry about it, because what I say shall happen. Can't nobody stop the word that I speak. What I say, it shall come to pass. So I just believe he got the Holy Spirit. He said, let me tap in and just encourage the man of God. Don't get weary about it. I still got all things at hand. I still got it. He says, look to Jesus. Look at him. Look at him. Put gaze at him. Put your attention on him. See, we now have the word, written word of God. They back then, you know, was all tradition. So he had to share, the writer had to share it in such a way that the people would get it without seeing it written, but they would get it through an understanding of all tradition. He began to tell them the story of Jesus' suffering. He begins to share the story of Jesus' suffering and how he suffered at the hands of such unrighteous people. He says, look, of all people who could have turned around and gave up, it's Jesus. What a contradiction that God, who is made himself and manifested himself in the person and in the body of Jesus, the creator, has now made himself flesh. dwelled among us and was allowed himself to be handled by his creation. The word says he came to his own and his own received him not. If there's anybody who should feel betrayed, if it's anybody who felt rejection, it's Jesus. If it's anybody who has a reason to complain, it's Jesus. If there's anybody who felt unjustly handled and persecuted, whipped and beaten, it's Jesus. He said, look at his life. Look at him. Here's the key. What allowed Jesus to go through such a terrible, horrific experience? It's that verse right there that says, because of the joy. See, joy is, while it's an experience. Joy is an experience. It's an emotional experience. It's an emotional experience. It's to be happy. It's to be glad. There's quite a few Greek words that joy is. Rendered, the word joy is rendered from a lot of different Greek words. And I'm not going to give you a lesson in Greek because that's not important. The thing is, though, that joy has this connotation of just more than a feeling. It's more than a gladness. It's a key element for life living and endurance. Joy is a key element for overcoming difficult situations, circumstances, trials, and testing. It's joy that's at the root of our ability to overcome and be victorious in this thing called life. Because in the words of our illustrious pastor, life be life. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But when life is life, even in the difficult times, it's life. It's joy that's key to help me endure. Jesus did not have his eye on the moment. He foresaw the joy ahead. And I think that's what causes us to lose in areas when we should be winning. Because we get caught up in the present and we look at all the circumstances and we look at all the surroundings. And we look at all of our failures, and it looks like there's no hope, and it looks like we done took another L. And then we start talking to ourselves, and we start indicting ourselves, and we start talking about how we always done this, and how we done that, and we condemn ourselves. But when God is telling us all along and through John, he says, even when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. The forgiveness that God has given us is greater than what you can do to condemn ourselves. So when you're condemning yourself, it is God who through Jesus Christ, our high priest and great intercessor, who's praying for us and saying to them, Father, forgive them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to know that the forgiveness that Jesus has given is greater than what you do to condemn yourself. The enemy will accuse you. The enemy will remind you of all the things you've done. And then even after we made commitments and we fall, the enemy say, look at you. I thought you said you was going to do right this time. You back to being who you were. You back doing the same old thing. And you constantly bringing your thoughts down. And your joy is constantly zapping your strength. You know what? You know how you feel. You know the script. I'm going to get there. Don't sit down. You're pushing me.
You're talking good, sir.
See, Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. It is my strength is connected and tied to joy. Just think about it. You know when you are in those moments of sorrow. When you're in moments of sorrow, not only do you feel like all your strength is gone, you're just low. Your emotions are low. Your spirit is low. Even your physical, you just feel like you can't get your head up sometimes. You feel like you can't take another step. When in those moments of sorrow, that's why. See, it's something about joy. See, it's more than just an emotional or feel-good moment based on circumstances that are good. And when everything is happening well, it's the joy that you have to set your attention to. It's not the moment that you're in. It's the moment that you're going to that's going to get you through. So you rejoice in the Lord. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I just hear the Holy Spirit say, see, in those moments when I'm low, I see Jesus, I got a lot of scriptures. I have a whole lot of scriptures. See, in John 16, Jesus, 14, 15, and all of that, Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm about to leave. I'm about to go. I'm about to give up my life. And the disciples are getting sorrowful. You know, we preach this at funerals a lot of times. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you that where I go, you may be also. And I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. That where I am, you can also be. He tried to encourage. See, he was trying to bring up their joy. He was trying to lift them up. He says, "This is just going to be a temporary situation. It's just a temporary situation. I'm trying to get you to remember the Old Testament writer in the Psalm that said, weeping endure for a night, but joy. It's coming in the morning. I don't know what time that morning might be, but there's a morning. There is a morning. See, what time? Sometimes we get confused because we think that it's the next 24-hour period. Sometimes our weeping may endure for a little longer than 24 hours or 48 hours, but there is a morning that joy will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're about to celebrate it, Dom. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate that great morning, that great getting up morning when the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus got up all power. Yeah! Yeah! He was trying. Tell somebody my morning is coming. My morning is coming. Oh, my morning is coming. My morning is coming. My morning is coming. My morning is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you rejoice just for a few moments, it might be today. Your morning can be right now. If you begin to rejoice in the Lord, your morning can be right now. Your morning. Get up, get up, get up. Get up, get up, get up. Get up, get up, get up. Get up. Today can be your day. Hey, we even lost an hour today, so you can start rejoicing just a little sooner. We gotta sit here today an hour early, so we can start rejoicing just a little sooner. Hallelujah.
It won't be long from now. It won't be long from now. It won't be long from now. It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
It won't be long from now.
Right there.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands in His presence.
An accident.
Come on, lift your hands in His presence.
Because I'm alive. Because there's more. God knows the plans He has for me. He knows the thoughts He thinks towards me. And this is not an accident. Because I'm alive. Because there's more. Hallelujah. You may not believe it, but watch God and see. He's gonna do just what He said.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
He's gonna do just,
oh, yes, He is,
what He said. You may not believe it, but watch God and see.
Oh, watch God and see.
He's gonna do just what He said.
Oh, yes, He is.
He's gonna do just
what He said.
What He says. He's gonna do just what He said.
My. Well, hallelujah. I got some more stuff, but I ain't going to see you. I'm going to stop right here. Hallelujah. See the joy of the Lord. I looked up strength, right? That word strength in Hebrews mean a fortress.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A mighty mountain. It means protection. The joy of the Lord is my fortress. It's my protection. It's my mighty mountain. The joy of the Lord. It's that secret place. It has the idea. It has the idea. It's my tabernacle. In a time of trouble, He shall hide me in the secret place of His tabernacle. He will set me upon a rock. So shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. That's why I will sing. I will sing unto the Lord songs of praise. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. Deliver me. That's my strength. See, that's why I can endure. See, because in the hard times when I'm going through, when Jesus was going through, He ran to the secret place, the garden. I wish I had more time, Sam. I would talk about the garden was Jesus' special place. I know it's special because they needed Judas to take them there. And they knew Judas knew Jesus so well. See, because Judas left out from the upper room, because Jesus told him to go. But how did Judas know that he would be in the Mountain of Olives? Because it's a place that they were knew that Jesus would go. Yeah. His secret place. Yeah. His tabernacle. his hiding place. And when he got up there, he went and he prayed. He went and he took three of his closest disciples while they were sleeping. He said, look, you need to pray so you won't enter into temptation. And he went a little further off and he began to pray. He began to pray. And he came back and saw him sleeping. He said, you can't watch with me for an hour. Come on, fellas. He was encouraging them, trying to get their hopes up. The scripture says that Jesus was sorrowful unto death. But he went to his hiding place. See, that's what the writer's trying to let us see. He says, you know, y'all ain't resisted to the point that Jesus resisted. He was sorrowful unto death, but for the joy. It was the joy ahead. It was the joy ahead that allowed him to say, Father, not my will, but your will. It's the joy. I used to stop right there. I used to say that it was the joy of Jesus being reconnected to the Father. And I would leave it there. But it wasn't just the joy of Jesus being connected to the Father. I come to understand. Jesus says this in around 16. Chapter 16 of John. He says to his disciples, I want your joy to be complete. And he says, listen, he says, you're going to be sorrowful, but it's like a woman who's having a baby. You go through all of the pain, you go through the suffering, but the moment the child is born, there's such a joy. Everything you went through, you don't even think about it no more, because the joy. Jesus, he was encouraging himself. Boom, he was saying to himself, I know I gotta go through some stuff, but when I get to the other side, it's not, I'm going to be so elated that I'm back with the Father. But I'm going to even be more elated that I'm bringing all of those, my brothers and sisters, all of the people that I saw even before the foundation of the world. I saw you before the foundation, and when I get through this, they gonna be with me. It's gonna be the Father, it's gonna be the Son, it's gonna be the Holy Spirit, and it's gonna be my bride, the church, all of us. So it was bigger than just the relationship between the Father and the Son. It was his victory brought him so great joy. Because not only we was going to be with him, but the devil and sin and death and all the demons were going to be defeated. That's why he says, be of good cheer. Come on, stand to your feet. He said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome. And because I've overcome, you'll overcome. I don't care what your situation is. Paul understood it. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Not sometimes, but always. And then he repeated it, and he says, and again, I say, rejoice. He said, let your lifestyle be known. And then he goes on to say, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, here we go, prayer again, right? By prayer and supplication,
make your request
with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart by Christ Jesus. He says, look, here's what you need to do while you're doing that. Think on these things. Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is a good report, whatever is righteous, whatever. Think on that. That's the joy. See, that's building up my resistance. See, joy is like our vitamin D. It builds up resistance. It adds to our strength. It's like the vitamin that helps us with the iron. It builds us up to be able to maintain. It's really no matter what circumstance you find ourselves in, it's not really what our emotions and feelings are. That we can't let them lead us. We gotta let the Holy Spirit. That's why James, right? He says, when you find yourself into direst, different temptations and trials, count it all joy. What that really means is throw yourself a party. Yeah. Throw yourself a party. Because you know what? It's building, because you should know that whatever God has allowed me to be in right now, the I can party about it. I can have a, I don't want to say pity party. See, that's the problem. See, most of us have pity parties when we find ourselves in problems. We got to have a praise party. You got to get somebody with you. You got to get somebody of like mind, of like community with you to say, you know what? I know you're going through a tough time, but I'm with you. I'm not gonna be like Job's friend. I'm just gonna sit here with you. Just my presence. That know that I'm with you. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't even know what you're going. But I'm here. We're gonna get through this together. But I'm not gonna let you cry about how bad things are. When you start talking about why did they do this to me? Why not you? This ain't fair. By whose standard? Don't God see what I'm doing? He saw what Job did. No, you don't understand. Jesus understands. He's been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. What you going through is tougher than what he went through. How long is this going to take? I don't know how long it's going to take. I saw a meme that says, I don't know. Jesus, God is always on time, so I don't mind waiting. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. And again I say, wait on the Lord. Man, this got to be, I'm the only one that's going through this. There's no temptation that has taken you but such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Oh, it's not just you. You're not going through this all by yourself. I got a remnant. I got a whole 7,000 other prophets that's waiting to be released. You're not in this by yourself. God, I feel so alone. Oh, didn't you hear me tell you I would never leave you nor forsake you? I will never ever leave you orphaned. I will never ever. Didn't you hear the writer say, what can separate us from the love of God? Is it heights or depths or nothing? Principalities or powers? The rulers of darkness? Now, what can separate us from the love of God? What if he refused not to spare his son, how will he not give to us that which we need? Hallelujah. I hear you. He, you know what? He will give us more than we can bear. And the part that we can bear, he takes care of that. Because he says, cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Yeah, he tempers. He tempers the temptation. He makes sure that whatever he gives us, we can bear it. You know, it's like being on a weight. It's when you're doing presses and what you have is a spotter. And God will continue to allow you to lift until you can lift. And he'll say one more and you push. And he say one more and you push. And he says one more. And when your arms start wiggling and when you can't get it up and when it feel like it's going back down, that's when he. If you don't know Jesus, it's time for you to come to him. You need to come. I'm not taking blame for the time we get out. Your pastor started. He jumped in the service. It's his fault. So I ain't taking blame for this. He jumped in on my message. He did it. It's all his fault. Don't look at me. Say, OG, preached all day. We out there at lunch. We should have had reservations at 1. Don't look at me. It was pastor who did it. But if you don't know Jesus, you need to come. If you're here in the room, if you're online, you need to come. You need to give Jesus your life. He is the one who is able to keep you from falling. If you haven't done it, you need to do it. I'm not going to prolong it. If you are someone who wants to partner with the TCF family, you can come now. If you have been someone who's gotten away from your relationship with Jesus Christ, you can come and recommit. You can do that. You can do that now. It's up to you. If you're online, here's your opportunity. You can go to the information is on the screen. Information is on the screen, and you can utilize that information to come to Christ. Here's your moment. This is your moment. This is your time. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.
I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far, and I'll never turn back. God.